Good morning. This is Seth Kadushin, Director of Capital Markets for Virtus ETFs and Portfolio Manager for the Virtus Private Credit Strategy ETF. It is my pleasure to welcome Finian O'Shea. Finian O'Shea is a Vice President and Senior Equity Analyst at Wells Fargo Securities, covering private credit and the business development company, or BDC sector. Mr. O'Shea is a top-ranked analyst in the space, and I'm very pleased to have him join me today. Finian, could you give us a brief overview of what you do?
Sure, Seth, and thank you. As you said, I'm with Wells Fargo Securities Equity Research, where I follow business development companies. Those are a type of closed-end fund that is generally engaged in the private debt asset class. More specifically, when I say I follow the industry, I provide advice on the space and investing in the names that I individually cover. Right now, I cover 19 public BDCs. There are about 50 of them and another 50-plus private BDCs.
Clearly, BDCs are a less understood asset class. Can you provide some examples of who these companies focused on private credit lent to, perhaps highlighting the diversity of the businesses?
Yeah, absolutely. Private credit is very broad in definition. There are a couple ways to simplify it. One is that it largely serves as the counterpart to private equity, where it provides the leverage that private equity firms demand or want. In fact, the major players in private credit are those same alternative firms that are household names in private equity. It competes with commercial banks, which are more rigid in how much leverage that they'll provide, and also capital markets, which are less consistent. You see in times like today, where market uncertainty is pretty significant, private credit is likely gaining share due to that inconsistency in capital markets. So how is the diversity of the business, as you asked? Some BDCs are very diverse across industries, like any investment portfolio, and some are dedicated to certain business lines, like, for example, technology and software. Some do structured products like CLOs, but there is certainly a range of style in what the managers do.
Great. And can you talk a little bit about how the pandemic has affected this particular part of the market?
So there have been three main headwinds. I think it's been impressive on all fronts. The first is leverage. So BDCs borrow from banks, and most, if not all of them, have reduced leverage to navigate that risk. The next is LIBOR, which, as many of us know, has gone way down. Remember, BDCs lend at floating rates based on LIBOR. And finally, there's credit, which is the outstanding main question mark, and that will largely depend on where the economy goes from here. I'll add that for those first two elements, leverage and LIBOR, they've largely played out. Credit performance is the major dynamic today, and so far that's also been much better than we all feared.
So should the investors be looking at the space, perhaps in relation to other investment vehicles in the same asset class?
Yeah, we think so. So as just said, given what's already happened to BDC earnings from leverage and LIBOR, the spread differential to comparable public credit is likely telling of a real dislocation. It's about 400 basis points wider than normal. That is the BDC earnings yield to public leverage finance yield. So that would indicate that BDC earnings would fall another one-third as a ballpark, which is pretty harsh.
Great. And in this asset class, what areas of fixed income would you say would be most akin to the private credit environment?
Sure. So we generally compare them to single B public credit. So that could be high yield bonds and leverage loans. But there are, you know, to get more technical, you can find single B stuff all over the place and structured credit, for example. The reason is BDCs, those loans are not generally not publicly rated, but they're often shadow rated, and the managers and investors describe the loans they make as single B. So those are the public benchmarks we look to say, all right, are BDCs cheap right now or are they expensive right now?
And assuming that the Federal Reserve stays rather accommodative, how would that impact the BDC space overall?
Well, there's a few ways it plays out. One is LIBOR, we talked about, that reduces their earnings near term. On the other hand, that tends to improve their credit performance based on the underlying borrowers. The bigger dimension at this point, we think, is lower for longer, creating demand for alternative yield. And that should be a major tailwind at this point for BDCs.
So, Finian, all said, why would I invest in this theme? If so, should investors be looking at a few BDCs or looking at a diversified basket of instruments?
So we recommend the space as a whole and names individually. The investor base can be very broad itself, much of it equity income seeking, much of it fixed income seeking, so it depends on the investor. The good news to your question is, as we talked about earlier, BDCs today are more diverse than ever. There are all different credit styles, fee structures, rates of leverage, for example.
Great. Well, Finian, thank you so much for joining us. I've really enjoyed talking to you today. To learn more about VPC, the Virtus ETFs, or any of the Virtus investments, please visit us at virtus.com. And again, thank you again for our special guest, Finian O'Shea of Wells Fargo Securities.
Thanks for having me.